Today we're going to be starting with burden, and our secondary subject will be travail. This will be number 7 is burden, and number 8 is travail. Today is the first day we've had any tapes available, and that's on session 1 and 2. That's foundations is number 1, and characteristics is number 2. And they're right there by the doorway as you come in, if you're so inclined. And so today, as we're talking about burdens, the first question is, and I love to do word studies, and there's so much information and so much enlightenment when we do word studies, and you don't have to be a Greek or a Hebrew scholar. You can get a Strong's Concordance and Vine's Expository or, you know, a few little books like that, and you're able to get up there and say, in the Greek it says, in the Hebrew it says, and, you know, you can fake them out. So, but words are wonderful, and they're powerful, and in the scriptures, I'll give you a little clue, and I'm sure most of you already know this, but the names in the scripture of the individuals that will be connected with something you're studying out will be very important. And if you look up the names and the meanings of each of the people's names or the names of the cities or whatever, many times Holy Spirit will give you understanding of what he's spiritually trying to convey to you, especially much of the Old Testament. You see, if we only take the Old Testament as history and about an ancient people, Israel, and their covenant with God, we've missed it. Because hidden in the Old Testament are all the types and shadows, metaphors, allegories, all of the things that we need to express Jesus Christ, and wherever Christ is, the church is. And of course, we do a lot of teaching Old Testament, and we love tabernacle and all the things pertaining to that, including priesthood, of which the ministry of intercession is likened unto the Old Testament priesthood. The priest stood between God and man, and that is what intercession is, the going between. You are standing in the gap, as it says in Isaiah, making up the hedge. Jesus' predominant ministry at this time is what? Oh, yes. He will be doing that until the end of this age. And Holy Spirit within us does what? Intercedes on our behalf and on behalf of others. So this is very important. Intercession, as all of you that have been coming to the classes know, we believe intercession belongs to the church, as prayer belongs to the church. Many will not enter in to the ministry in the way that they should. We are all priests according to God's word. According to Peter, it says that we are all priests. Isn't that right? We are a holy priesthood. We have been called to be a holy priesthood. Therefore, that means that all believers then are called to be intercessors. Now, as we're all called to be witnesses, I use this simple analogy, as we're all called to be witnesses, not everybody will be as strong a witness as the other person. Some will witness maybe to only one or two people in their whole life. Others may feel like they need to witness to that many every day. And so, as we are all called to be witnesses, we are also all called to be intercessors. But unfortunately, all of us will not enter into the same level or degree of intercession as the other. But this is a time when God is opening our eyes to intercession in a new way. And so many of the myths in the past, and I've been a Christian for 30-some-odd years, and my first concept was of intercession was the person, you know, like praying Hyde that had the calluses on his knees from always being there, or the one that's never out of the closet. There's one of two opinions. Either you have the, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good, or they're so spiritual, you know, that you can't touch them. It's an exclusive group. Not so, folks. This is something that the enemy has hidden from the body of Christ, is the power of intercession, and how all of us have not only access, but we should be moving in that realm. And when this begins to happen, as God's people begin to stir, their eyes begin to be opened, and we begin to move into our calling, there is no stopping where God's going to take the body of Christ. What's happening here in Brownsville is wonderful, but it's only a tiny drop in the bucket of what God wants to do. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. We have not seen churches large enough to contain the amount of people that are going to be swept into the kingdom when God's people get in right alignment with Him. In the Assemblies of God, we coined the phrase in the 90s that it was the harvest, the decade of harvest. Well, the decade of harvest is into the sixth year. And I was so happy when they coined that phrase, because we've been believing and praying, and we've seen in the Spirit for and teaching for over 25 years that God was going to move in this way. And as I was saying, I think it was yesterday, we taught a group from Mobile yesterday, New Orleans yesterday. And I don't know if I mentioned it there or what, but that our hair was getting grayer, and gravity starting to take its toll on your body, you know, and you're saying, dear God, is it ever going to happen? Is it ever going to happen? And we're seeing now. We're seeing it begin to unfold, and it's happening fast, folks. You know, it seems like you're in the waiting pattern. It's just like birth. And that's why we liken it to travailing and burden and so on. We as mothers know how long it takes. I mean, it seems like, especially that last month, you're miserable. You make everybody else miserable. You know, you are, and you think it's never going to happen. It's never going to get over with. When? And then all of a sudden, the birth pangs begin. And they rush you down to the hospital. And for some, it's longer. For some, it's a very short period of time. For some, it may be up to 36 hours or whatever. But whatever it is, it's quick in comparison to the amount of time that you waited. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. We have been seeding. We have been planting. There's been a birthing that's been awaiting to take place. And we're seeing it, folks. We're seeing the beginning of it. Just the beginning of it. God is going to birth mighty things in the church. And salvation, of course, they're going to be swept in by the millions. But also there's going to be healings and deliverances. And God's going to set the captive free. And there, like I said, there's not going to be churches large enough to hold all the people. To date, the biggest thing that's been going on between churches is one church is jealous of the other. And one pastor doesn't want the other, his congregation, to go to that church because they might get his sheep. And so fighting over the sheep. And all of the unbelievers out there, all of the unsaved, all of those masses, we haven't been dealing with. Just fighting over the sheep. And believe me, when you get them, you don't want them anyway, because they're just going to be hopping from one church to the other. They're usually just problems. So what we need to do is we need to go out and get a whole brand new crop. That's what we're seeing here that's so wonderful in Brownsville. And I love that. I love that group that sits there on the front row. Don't they just bless the socks off you? Bob and I learned how to preach on the street. We're basically street preachers. So if you were looking for refinement today, you're not going to find that in me. We like prison ministry. We like to be where real people are. You know, religious people just sort of, they always have. You know, I mean, they just, you know, hey, I hear a giggle or two. You know what I'm talking about. All right. So let's look at the word burden. We're going to look at Webster's, and we're going to look at the Greek, which I looked up in the Strong's Concordance to show you how good my Greek is. Webster says, the word for burden is to lay a heavy load on, a responsibility. Excuse me. Sorry. A responsibility. In the Greek, in Vines, it says to demand a weight. Anything pressing on one physically, materially, or spiritually. Now let's look at Galatians 6 and 2. Our tape number 2 is called Characteristics, and this would certainly be a part of the Ministry of Intercessors. Brethren, and I'm going to go back up to verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are called as believers, all believers, to bear the burdens of one another, to always be attempting reconciliation. That's why we need to learn how to pray. I hear so much prayer. I mean, calling on the name of the Lord, going through all the things, but prayer that is not coming from the mind and the heart and the Spirit of God. To me, it's cultish prayer or it's carnal prayer. It's prayer that's going out there and they're saying, oh God, get that one, kill that one, do this, you know, get revenge on this, do this, 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 this. And praying things that are not God's mind and heart. God is the God of reconciliation. And that's what intercession is, the ministry of reconciliation. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. So we are to be bearing one another's burdens. In Romans 15, it enlarges on it even a little bit more. We need to evaluate our prayer. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from our human spirit? Or is it being inspired by Holy Spirit? And the more we're in His Word, the more it will be inspired by Holy Spirit. Because then we'll know what God's mind and will is. 15. Chapter 15, verse 1 through 3. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification, for even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach me, you fell on me. So Jesus, we know, bore the reproach. I say he bore everything. You know, the scripture says that he was tempted in all ways such as we, yet without sin. He was tested in every way that we are tested. And one of the things that you will find when you begin to move into intercession, especially if you begin to do kind of strange things. And I'm not talking about flaky weirdness. I'm talking about freedom in the Spirit. Freedom in the Spirit. And sometimes when you're in intercession, and especially you can learn this at home on your own, you won't feel quite as intimidated if Holy Spirit's speaking to you to do something and some body movement or some type of thing or pounding or whatever, or stomping or something that would seem kind of strange. You go with it. You go with that. And you let Holy Spirit take you wherever. And with that, though, I'm going to say that when you begin to share, or if you begin to demonstrate it in other places, perhaps, you may get a little reproach. There may be a, this is really out there. So be prepared. Jesus was criticized all the time. He was reproached. He was reproached because he was trying to please and did please in every way the Father. Okay. And it's not always understood. A burden, and I repeat this practically every time we have a session, a burden is to go in front, as well as intercession, is to go in front of Satan to block an attack, not behind him. We are to be the head and not the tail, but we spend most of our time at the tail cleaning up after the enemy. And how many of your pastors, any pastors here today? Am I right? We spend most of our time in council and cleaning up the messes after they've already happened. But God wants us as a people to begin to get into His mind and His heart and begin to see the plans of the enemy out there ahead, so we can pray and circumvent, so we can cancel assignments and we can get into the flow, so that we don't have to clean up the mess, so that the mess never happens to start with. And this is a powerful, powerful, powerful in any church. Every pastor should be coveting this. Every pastor should be trying to get it organized if he can, because this will be such a benefit to you when you have people that are moving in that realm of the Spirit, and God will begin to show. There's many different ways, and we'll be talking about some of those, how Holy Spirit reveals. a burden will come before a breakthrough. Sometimes you will know what it's about, and sometimes you won't, but it does not make any difference. We're going to look at a very familiar part of Scripture, especially concerning intercession. That's Romans 8. I always say chapter 8 of Romans is the handbook or the reference chapter on intercession. Also, the small book of John, little John 1, where he talks about love. The first book of John, 1 John. Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, capital S, himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And this is what's so important for answered prayer, to know that we are praying according to the will of God. How do we know? How do we know? First of all, we have a very, very, very good guide right here. This tells us what the will of God is. You know, people are always coming up saying, pray for me. Do you have a word for me? I need to know what the will of God is. I say, here. This is the will of God for you. This is the will of God for me. This is the will of God for the whole body of Christ. Yes. But sometimes he will show you, because I believe that God, he said, let this mind, the word says, Paul, says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he's speaking, I believe, and we see this work a lot in intercession, that in each of the members of the body, there is a portion or part of his mind to be revealed. No one person, no one church, no one group has the full mind of Christ. Because but what we need to see is that when we begin to move into the realm of the Spirit, he will begin to give us puzzles. And I call it puzzles. Back in our intercession room, when we are together and we are wanting the mind of the Lord, we ask, is the Holy Spirit showing anyone anything? And different ones will give their part to the puzzle. And when we put all of the parts together, then we begin to see what the mind of the Lord is for that night. What we are doing here on every evening prior to the beginning of the service, or at the very beginning of the service, tonight it'll be at 5:45, but from 5:45 to 6:45 or 7 o'clock or 7:30 sometimes, we will be in the back room interceding for the service. And we've coined a little phrase, as it goes in the back room, so it goes out in the service. The other night, Wednesday night, we had such a hard time. We were going to dismiss, and I was ready to let everybody go back into the main auditorium, because then we go into the main auditorium, we spread out through the main auditorium, and we intercede then during the duration of the service. And we were ready to leave. We couldn't go. We all just hung in there, and we hung in there, and we hung in there, because we had no release in our spirit. It was tight. I don't know how it was. We weren't out. It was very bad Wednesday night. Okay. Well, we didn't know. I mean, we are battling. It felt like the heavens were brass, and we went on and on and on and on. And finally, we had a breakthrough about a quarter after 9. And then we went out into the service at 9:30, and Holy Spirit was moving out there, and it was wonderful. But you see, this is where our warfare will be. And it can be waged before we ever go out into the service. It's wonderful. Praise God. So I don't know the point I was going to be making there. But, however, go on until the burden is worked through. That's the point I want to make. You have to go with the burden until it's worked through. I think so often we quit just this side of the blessing. And so we need to be people who persevere and press on through and until the Lord moves. Now, I want to speak specifically about how you get burdens, okay? We know that there's many, many things to pray for and many good things to pray for. But the most effective prayer we will have are those that the Lord lays upon our heart, okay? Now, we know that there are certain things we're supposed to be praying for every day, but I find that we spend more time in worshiping the Lord than asking anymore, and just waiting until he shows us what his heart is and his will is. And it's making intercession much easier. We fought our head and beat and have gone through so much, You know, and we have times like that. But so much of the time, the answer comes just through the praise and the worship. And when we understand that principle in the Old Testament, you know, it says if you get the pattern right, that's what Dick Rubin always says, if the pattern is right, the glory will fall. And the pattern is always praise and worship, always. In your spiritual warfare, you're going to spend 95% of your time in spiritual warfare in praise and worship. And it's wonderful because you're being built up, God's being pleased, and He'll fight your battle. See, I think in the past when we've been doing the spiritual warfare and all this, we've been fighting the battle. But God will fight the battle if we will give Him the glory, if we will lift Him up and we will begin to worship Him and enter into His mind and His heart. He's taking us into new places in this day. The old ways are not going to be effective. He's got a new pattern and a new plan that He's moving His people into. And on the third teaching, which is on the priesthood of the believer, we talk about the change of priesthood. We know that the pattern was in Aaron, but in Jesus Christ, He is the priest, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. We're not talking about the Melchizedek priesthood. We're not Mormons. We're talking about a ministry and a priesthood like unto. It's an everlasting priesthood. And so there's a different way that the ministry will come forth than it has in the past. So much of it has been the Aaronic style, which has been fine, but it's been ritualistic and it's been traditional and it's been... But God wants to move us into new realms with Him. And I mean, I'm ready to go. I don't know how to get there. You know, I mean, it's a walk of faith. It's a walk of the Spirit. It's step by step, but God is leading His people. In this last day, He's going to begin to pour out understanding and knowledge that the church has lacked. He has not been able to trust the church with much that's been in His heart because we wouldn't screw it up, folks. But what He's doing is He's first coming along and He's cleaning His people. That's what a lot of the shaking's about. You fighting the shaking? Well, so sorry. You know, and I have to tell you a very humorous thing that happened to me last week. We joined the Brownsville Revival when it had been going for about 12 weeks, I believe. We were called down to organize the intercession. And so the mighty move of the Spirit and of a lot of the manifestations, so many of the people were already moving in that, the shaking and all that. Well, when I came down and I saw it, I said, this is God. This is God. I could see the movements in the body meant something. And so as a teacher, I would look at the different manifestations, and I'd say, oh, the Lord's speaking this, and the Lord's speaking that. You know, and God is like prophesying through our body parts rather than through our mouth. Okay? I know that may sound strange, but I saw manifestations that I felt were could be spiritually interpreted. So I've been 100% in agreement with it, and I've known that this is true. I've always been, for many years, been free in worship and praise and dance and my hands and all that, you know. But I had made the statement last week that I have never, you know, had the manifestation. And I look, you know, I've appreciated it in everybody else, but I've never had the manifestation of the shaking and all that. That was Saturday. Oh, I mean, Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, it was an awesome. Was anybody here Sunday morning? It was more than awesome. Pastor didn't even preach. And I mean, I was on the floor before they ever, the last amen to the first prayer was. And I don't think anybody caught me. I mean, it was just the power of God just knocked me down on the floor. And, well, Pastor Kilpatrick told me that I was down there for 2 hours. It seemed like it was 15 minutes. But, I mean, he shook me. I like to say he shook the devil out of me. He shook me until I shook. Things were going on inside my body. And I tell you what, it was glorious. It was I cried and I laughed and I shook and I jerked and I thought, any minute they're going to get the deliverance team. They're going to take me to the back room and cast devils out of me. You know, that's what's going through my mind. But I said, okay, if that's what I need, Lord, I'm ready. I'm open. You know, but I felt things breaking up inside of me. I felt like chains were being broken. When I was going like this, I felt like chains were being broken off my arms. I felt down from the bottom of my feet, I felt like roots were being pulled out. I felt like things were just being pulled out. And I knew that those were roots of bondage that had been there since I was probably a little child. We talk about inner healing, huh? I got some inner healing last Sunday, and I praise God for that. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. And it was wonderful. And they talk about the river flowing, and I always thought of it going this way. Well, it was going this way on me. I could feel the words and the power of God going through my body. And I say, I could stand that every day. Hallelujah. Why? Why do people fight this? I mean, this is such a gift to the body of Christ. I can't imagine why anyone would fight this. It's wonderful. And I tell you, in myself, I've seen a difference this week. I felt different. I feel a difference in the anointing this week. And I believe that this journey we're going on, folks, I haven't walked this way before. Many of us have never walked this way before. But I tell you, the end is going to be something. It's going to be great glory. Hallelujah. He is going to be proud of His bride. He is going to have a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. Without any defect in her. She's going to be beautiful. She's just been a shriveled up, ugly, old, barren woman. But God's breathing His life into her. And He's saying, I'm coming back for a woman that's beautiful and perfect and clean and whole and holy. And I say, if it takes shaking the devil out of me, go for it, Lord. That's what I want to get rid of everything in me that would hinder the flow of God. When we get to that place in our life, folks, then God's going to be able to do something with us. He's going to be able to use us. He's going to be able to trust us with the secrets of His heart, the things He wants to show us, how we can have revival, how we can be effective in the world. It's going to come when He can trust His people. Praise God. We've been so full of ourselves, pride and all these, and control and all of these things, you know, jealousy, envy, on, and the whole list goes down. Everything that is the opposite of love, we've been. And God said, no more. I believe He's drawn a line, and this is the hour. It's a very serious time, but God's going to have a people, folks. He's going to have a people. Like the old our old pastor used to say when I first came into Pentecost, get in, get out, or get run over. That's the truth. Well, that I was not expecting to say that, but take it for what it's worth. We need, you may see a face in your spirit. I had someone the other day say that they see people's faces that they've never met. I said, pray for them. Pray for them. This is wonderful. God knows who they are, and He's appointed you as a channel to intercede for that person. Ha, ha, ha. You might not see him here, but you're going to see him someday. You're going to see them in the kingdom of God. You're going to know that those prayers that you prayed are the reason that that person is there before Almighty God. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, you may get a name. Some people get names of people they don't know. And I say, pray for them. You know, they'll be praying and the Lord will give them a name of someone. Pray for them. God is giving you that person's name because He wants you to intercede for them. A magazine picture. Anything. A news report. I get a lot of burdens over news report. I mean, of course, I don't have much time to listen to the news anymore. But, I mean, talk about a burden. You can get a burden. The other day when there was something on the news, oh, my spirit just leapt within me. And I began to pray. And I saw that this was something that God wanted me to intercede concerning. And so a burden can come anyway. We want to be very careful. We do not make a formula out of this thing. We do not want to make a doctrine out of intercession. All we're doing is introducing something that will be very valuable to the church in its balance. You see, the church needs everything. Intercession is just one tiny part of it. And we have a tendency to camp there, to build a monument to it, to bow down, and then it loses all of its effectiveness because then it becomes an idolatrous thing. And we want to be very careful. We can get a concern, a travail. As I said, there is no formula. All He wants is for us to make ourselves available as a channel to work with God. We let Him flow through us, and we will work with Him. Praise God. Isn't that something? That He would actually call us to work with Him. In Romans 27, it says, Romans 8:27, where we were. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will or the purpose of God. And I think it's in the King James. Oh, wait a minute. In verse 28, excuse me. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All right. According to his purpose. You know, we hear that scripture bantied around all the time. All things are working together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And with the attitude of everything that's working in your life is being sent by God. And we know that this is not true. There are many things that are sent into our life which are not God's purposes. And he's not working in all the purposes of our life if we are walking in disobedience. He is not working in those areas. That's just as clear as it's going to be. We have to be, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. The word purpose means a setting forth, a deliberate plan. 4 out of 12 times it's used for showbread, bread of his presence, the bread of the setting forth. And so that's what God is doing. He is setting us forth into his purpose, or his purpose is to set us forth into his will. In Galatians 4 and 19, the scripture says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. This is the purpose of God. He wants Christ to be formed in us. Morpho. And it's the same word as is used in Romans, where he says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing or the metamorpho. Or we get the English word metamorphosis out of that, or changing of your mind. Well, he's talking about here those who are called according to his purpose. According to his purpose. His purpose is to change us to be exactly like him. That's a high order. But he said for us to be like him. We have set our sights too low. We've made excuses. We've said it's because Jesus was, you know, God incarnate. He was able to do it. He said everything that he's done, we can do. In fact, he even goes farther than that. He says, and the things that I do, you shall do even greater things. I mean, is that a mind blower? So we see then that Jesus Christ is calling us to be conformed to his image. His purpose is to be like him. Now we know that we are born again in the Spirit, aren't we? We are born again. When we receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit and we are regenerated. We are born again. We are renewed in the area of our soul, which is the intellect, the will, personality, and all that. That is being progressively renewed or changed. Our bodies are going to deteriorate, and sorry to say, you're not going to take them into the kingdom with you. I'm real happy about that. But anyway, the older I get, the happier I get. But we're going to have brand new bodies. Isn't that wonderful? But in our spirit, when Jesus Christ comes into our spirit, he DNAs our spirit. He puts his signet ring upon us. He stamps us with his image. Everything that is contained in that image is a possibility for us to be like. As we say, like John the Baptist, Lord, I decrease. Lord, you increase. I decrease. Lord, you increase. Every part of our life we will let him have. He will put his stamp on. He will put his characteristics on. Everything that we allow him to touch in our life will be conformed to the image of Christ if we will allow it. But see, it all comes down to our will, doesn't it? Okay. Dreams are an avenue for God to speak a warning or prophetically. How many of you are dreamers? Yeah. Right. Most people that move in intercession are. And I want to speak to you concerning dreams for just a moment. It's a very important and very powerful avenue. The Lord can show you many things in dreams. Usually they're in sometimes they're allegories or they'll be sort of like symbolic dreams. But you will know the difference between a cheeseburger and onion dream that you had if you left Brownsville at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I've never weighed this much in my life. Talk about it. You have to eat, on the run and late at night, and then you go home and sleep on it. Well, anyway, you can have a lot of those hamburger dreams. But the difference between that and a dream from the Lord is you will feel. You will know. It'll be sharp in your spirit. Now, I can't say that I always understand them. Eventually, the knowledge and understanding will come. But at that point, I do not understand quite often what he's saying. If it's a warning dream, and it's distressed me to have intercessors come up and say, yes, the Lord showed me that this terrible accident was going to occur, and they didn't know that we have the power to disannul those things, to cancel those assignments. So we need to use that powerful avenue. And when I have a bad dream about somebody, boy, I tell you, I'm on my feet and I'm saying, Lord God, or on my knees or however. I'm a walker more than on the knee. I'm a mover, always moving in prayer. But I'm moving out in that. And I'm saying, God, you cancel that assignment. I ask for your blood to be over that person and so on and so forth. If it's a good dream about a person, something that's real edifying and something, a place that they haven't reached yet in God, then you begin to hold that before the Lord and you begin to claim that for them. We begin to speak that into that person. Because everything in intercession is seeding, and then birthing. You see, we're always planting. That was the promise in Genesis to Noah. He said, as long as time remains, there will be, that's right, there'll be sowing and reaping, won't there? That's a universal law. It's not just a law to the Christians. It works in every area. You can take a sinner and he can go out there and plant a field and it'll come up. Even in the area of finances and everything, it will work for the sinner as well as the Christian because it is a universal principle. So, but we really need to get that in our spirit as intercessors. Okay. I could tell you of incident after incident. I remember one specific situation that occurred. I'm a great admirer of Pastor Marvin Gorman over in New Orleans. I think he's a powerful man. He's a powerful man in prayer. And I remember hearing a tape one time when he was really, his church was very large. And he was talking about Holy Spirit giving him people's faces and him seeing them in his sleep at night. People he had never met. And the Lord would tell, and the people would tell him what was wrong with them and things about themselves. And then they began to come into the service. And he said that he saw this person come in, and he immediately recognized them because he had seen them in a dream. And he went to them and began to tell them what they had told him in the dream, that people got saved. I mean, it's a marvelous gift. But I was a little bit concerned with that, being one of those that has to have their doctrine all, lined up. So I said, Lord, everything has a scriptural reference. I mean, we can't just be out there doing stuff that is so, way out there. It will have a spiritual balance in the Word. So I began to reflect on that, and I said, man, I really like that. But, Lord, how does that work in your Word? Where is that? And so then he began to, he led me in Acts to the Macedonian cry. That Paul didn't know. They were going to go here. And Holy Spirit prevented it. And they were going to go there when they were on a missionary journey. And the Holy Spirit came and prevented it. And they were going to go there. And finally, In a dream, a man from Macedonia, or a vision, I don't remember. I think it was a dream. He came, and he said, come on down here. And I believe that when Paul got down there, one of the first people that he saw was that man that was in that dream. He did not know that person, but they called in that dream for him to come there. And so, as I reflected on this, this was several years ago, a friend of mine that I was, I had a dream about her one night, and she was in a very, very dangerous position. There was a man there that I knew she was in her living room, and there was a man there in the room, and I knew that there was going to be bodily harm to her. She was a single lady, and she lived alone. And in the dream, I was in that room, and I stood between them. Now I see it was the position of the intercessor making up the gap. I stood between them, and I rebuked the spirit of anger. I mean, he was angry, ready to do her bodily harm. And I rebuked that, and I saw that thing just fade away. All right, when I see her a few days later, I said, you know, you don't exactly know how to ease into these things. And I asked her what had occurred. I said, and I recognized both of them. I said, was so-and-so at your house? Her eyes got real big, and she said, yes. I said, did something very, you know, very stressful occur? And she said, yes, and she described what I saw in the dream. And she said, all of a sudden, he just, like that, and left. So I know that there are places God can take us in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful places. I know this sounds strange, but I tell you, the product, the end product is what we're looking for. We just need to be a vessel. Praise God. Okay, I could go on and on, but because of the time, we're not going to be able to cover, you know, the little personal testimonies. I'm sure each of you, if you've moved in intercession, have similar stories to tell. And it's wonderful. It causes our faith to just soar right through the ceiling. All right, we're going to talk about major burdens. The first one is an impulse burden, and that is a sudden, needs immediate attention. It's a spiritual emergency, and you continue until you receive peace or a release comes. When you have an impulse burden, don't wait. Pray on the spot. It can leave as suddenly as it comes. Okay, now, of course, we do know that we need a little bit of discretion, if possible, about where we're going to go into the burden on. You know, if we're standing at the train station and, you know, you're in line, maybe you could go to the restroom, you know, or some place, you know, if you're in the middle of a department store and this begins to occur, find a dressing room. You know what I'm saying? Just use a little bit of discretion, you know, and kind of muffle it into the hanky if you can. But we have to be wise. Be wise. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But do go with it. Don't muzzle it or muffle it until, you know, a more convenient time, because then the burden will lift. And we need to work them always work them through. Let's look at Luke 19. This was a sudden impulsive burden that came on Jesus. Is everyone comfortable in here? Is it too warm? Okay. If I'm warm, it means it's comfortable to other people usually. Now Jesus, when he was coming into Jerusalem, it says, now as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. It was an impulsive burden that he had over it. And he said to the city, he spoke to the city, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the thing that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. And he talks about the Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thee unto myself as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you wouldn't do it. And so he wept, and he had impulse burdens that he would go into right then. I'm sure he had many heavy burdens at night because he spent so much time praying. Okay, long-term burdens will return again and again and again.
come on, Melania.
You know what? I used the word purpose in the wrong setting there. It should have been the word formed, okay, which is on down here. We've already enlarged on that word morpho in Galatians 4 and 19. I had it in the wrong place there. See, that'll tell you how good my Greek is. Okay. We are being changed into the character of Christ. That's what we want to look at. Long-term burdens will return again and again. In Galatians 4 and 19. At least today I have my notes. 2 weeks ago I left my notes at home and I really had to wing it. So that was on two teachings. You pastors know what I'm talking about. That's a scary thing, isn't it? Galatians 4 and 19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. And that's the word morpho. And that's the one that we talked about. We talked about the same word as being transformed. And we talked about the DNA in our spirit. Okay. To Isaiah 62 and 10. Excuse me. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. All right. So we're talking about long-term burdens, where you will work out and dig out those stones and begin to lay the path to make the road smooth. And that takes time, folks. There, God will show you something, and you'll pray about that. But as long as it's still on you, you need to continue to pray and pray and pray as long as it takes. I don't mean all at one setting. I mean it may last for years. Things that God shows you that haven't come to pass yet. The revival is one of the things that we've been praying and seeding for years and years and years, trying to take the stones out of the path. As Holy Spirit showed us things that were preventing revival, we have attempted through His Word to take the stones, clear the way, and make a path. Okay, praying through. There's another religious word, Christian word. Praying through means joy, freedom, and peace will accompany the praying through. When you have a breakthrough, but do not see it yet, hold it in worship and prayer until until it's complete. How many of you have ever had the know that you know that you know that God? Right. And then you just hold it in praise and worship. You know, we've had a lot of teaching in the past of, you pray over it once and it would be a lack of faith on your part if you continue to pray about that. But I believe that we need to hold things in prayer until we know that. Then we hold Him in praise. You know, then we begin to praise and worship, and we keep it in that realm until we actually see the manifestation of it. Remember, we've said in the Old Testament, it was first the natural, then the spiritual. In the New Testament, it's first the spiritual, then we will see it brought into the natural. Okay? So let's look at Isaiah 10 and 27. Well, we're right there in Isaiah. And we're going to quickly try to get through this. Give you a little break here.
And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It's not just going to be broken. It's going to be destroyed because the anointing oil, or the oil of the Holy Spirit, is going to begin to break the yoke off of all of the bondages. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. It's going to destroy the yoke, which is the burden. And so when it's completed, it's going to be broken off of you. You're not going to have to worry about that anymore. And all you're going to do is hold that in worship and praise. Identification, and there was a young lady yesterday that was asking about, she had a pain in her neck, and she felt like she was supposed to pray for a person, and there was an identification. Brenda Kilpatrick recently has been, very recently, I guess in the last few months, has begun to have physical manifestations of identification with people that she's been praying for, and she's felt their pain. And then known that she should pray for those areas. But there will also be identification in your spirit with people. And there's a difference between sympathy and empathy. And intercessors are to be empathetic, not sympathetic. As intercessors, we must learn to identify with our pastors, our leaders, with the people that God sends to us. Identification, as I said, is empathy. Your pain is my pain. Sympathy is feeling sorry for them. Empathy is being able to get right in there and feel what they're feeling and experience what they're feeling. And most of us have been through the school of hard knocks anyway, haven't we? Anybody around here been beat up? Have any of you ever had trials and tribulations and problems? And yes, it seems like unending ones, right? Hey, they're going to work together for our good. There's a purpose in all this. And so God will use this, because we'll be able to, if we've had addictions, then God will use us with people, with people, and we'll be empathetic because we've been there. And that's why Steve Hill is so powerful and so effective here, because he identifies with the position that many of these people that are coming in and getting saved are in, and then they're able to identify with him. See, it's like an exchange thing. When you are truly empathetic with the person, then they're going to have that same response. They're going to be able to identify with you. It's a powerful tool in evangelism. Identification is also being a channel and being willing to be a part of the answer. Sometimes he'll show us, a need in somebody's life, and he'll say, now you go fix it. If it's financial, they'll have a financial need, or he may just tell you to write out a nice card of encouragement if they're going through a discouraging time, or he may just want you to go over and mow their lawn. You know what I'm saying? Just that this isn't all just pie in the sky stuff. There's a lot of practicality in all of intercession too. Now, Moses, of course, he interceded there in Exodus 32. Because of time, we're not going to turn to that. But he was interceding for the children of Israel, and he asked for the Lord to blot out his name out of the book, for the sake of the people. Now, that's an intercessor, isn't it? Of course, the Lord said, I'll have mercy on who I'll have mercy, and he's righteous and fair in all things. And Jesus, of course, is our great identification, because that's why he came to this earth to start with in a body of flesh, so that he could identify with us and we could identify with him. And everything that he went through in his life was for our identification. One of the things that I think was probably the most difficult thing, and it's something that we all seem to struggle with, and that is rejection. And Jesus suffered rejection even from the Father. Imagine that. So when we say, oh, I feel so rejected, rejoice. Jesus has already been there. He's walked through it for you. You don't have to worry about it. You can turn it over to him. He'll bear your rejection. Okay. It says, let this mind be in Christ. In Philippians 2:5-7, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to have the forgiveness and walk in the love and all of the things that Jesus did. He is our pattern. We do not pattern ourselves after one another. though there are many fine Christian examples, many fine Christian people. You get your eye on people, folks, no matter how wonderful it is or how wonderful you think they are, and they may be. That's not your pattern. However, there will be a people, especially new Christians, will pattern themselves after you. And that's why we need to be very conscious of reproducing after our own kind. Why God is calling us to a life of separation, cleanliness, holiness, that we are to be walking in love and in forgiveness and all of these things, because we're bringing in new babies. And if they are going to be patterning themselves after our faults and our failures, then we're going to be reproducing very deformed children. And God wants healthy babies, healthy people in the kingdom of God, and it's our responsibility. Identification as being a shareholder, as we pray for other ministries, we share with them. Closing with this, how do we do this? We come before the Lord in humility. We ask Holy Spirit to help us. We think about the matter. If you get a burden about something, begin to meditate on it. Begin to think about it. Okay, how can I effectively pray? How? Lord, you give me the strategy. You show me how I'm supposed to pray. Think about the matter. Let it become a part of your spirit. Identify with it. Carry it around in your heart. Muse on it. Meditate over it. Think about it. How? How, Lord? What do you want me to do? Get more information. If the Lord's given you a burden over cities or a nation, get all the information you can about that city and about that nation. If it's over people, then as much information as you can. This will help to give us greater accuracy in prayer. Instead of our prayers going out there like buckshot and maybe hitting it once in a while, He wants our prayers to be strategic. And He's leading us into that place. Father, I thank You. Lord, I ask right now, Lord, that the eyes of our understanding have been enlightened. Lord God, that our ears have been unstopped, that we were able to hear what Your Spirit was speaking to us today. And Lord God, I ask that upon this people, Lord, You will begin to lay Your burdens. You will begin to show, oh God, those things that we need to know and we need to pray about. Father God, from any source, we're just making ourselves a channel, an open vessel that You can flow through, Lord. And we're saying, Lord, use us, use us, use us. Help us to lift up our pastors and our leaders, Lord. Help us to be obedient and submissive and willing in any way, in any form, Lord, to assist with the ministry. Lord, help us to see the needs of not only our family, but the people around us, our neighbors, Lord. Give us a kingdom mentality, Lord, not me, mine, and ours, but Lord, let us begin to see outside of our little tiny small world. Begin to catch a vision, Lord. You said without a vision, the people perish. Without a redemptive revelation, the people go unbridled and lawless. And God, that's been our problem. We've gone unbridled and lawless because we did not have a clear vision. But God, I just ask that You would enlighten our eyes today. Give us a vision, Father, of Your greater purpose, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on,